Penguin Random House Canada Audio presents The Woulda Coulda Shoulda Guide to Canadian Inventions by Red Green. Read for you by the author and David T. Smith.
Hey, Red Green here, and this is my latest book. It's my Woulda Coulda Shoulda Guide to Canadian Inventions. And now they've asked me to read it to you, which I don't completely understand. I'm sure you all can read. Maybe you're just lazy, or maybe you want to drive the car while you're reading the book, or maybe it's hard to turn the pages with handcuffs on. Whatever the reason, I'm going to do it, and here we go. This book is dedicated to all the past, present, and future inventors. You are the little engines that woulda, coulda, shoulda. The ones with the skin knuckles and the rusty tools and the strained relationships. The people who can think of 20 different ways to get snow off the barn roof, but can't get anybody to give them insurance coverage. The folks who have tried to find better, faster, easier ways to do things with no regard for personal gain or safety. You spend your lives in the optimistic pursuit of the next big thing, and often end up losing your savings, your spouse, and at least one eyebrow. On behalf of the rest of the world, thanks for your optimism and relentless persistence. Now grab a pair of safety goggles and a fire extinguisher and go invent something. Quando omni fluncus moritati. When all else fails, play dead. The motto of Possum Lodge. This book is a bit of a puzzle. It's not all fact, but it's not all fiction either. I call it faction. Many of the inventions featured in here are bona fide, authenticated, and factually based innovations. Others come from rumors and stories and urban myths and rural myths and myths that have no geographical setting at all. To avoid confusion and legal action, I've identified the real actual inventions in a certain way. I'm not going to tell you how, but if you can't figure it out, it's unlikely that you'd be able to mount a convincing case against me. The other stuff, the inventions I'm more or less guessing about, are marked either differently or not at all. Another thing for you to figure out. I did this on purpose. My wife says I do everything on purpose. I did it partly for fun and partly because I think it's good to exercise your imagination, but mainly I thought it would give you, the reader, a sense of what it means to be an inventor. To get the most out of this book and get to the end successfully, you'll need to stay focused and pay attention to the information you're getting and, most importantly, to be able to sort the solution from the pollution. Have fun and learn something, and above all, keep your stick on the ice. I'm Canadian, and I don't think the rest of the world completely understands us. We have a reputation for being nice, eh? We're tolerant, we don't whine about everything. We give people the benefit of the doubt, we don't spend our days looking for an argument. We go along to get along. I think that's all more or less true, but it's not the whole picture. When a person doesn't complain, it doesn't mean they think everything is perfect. When we're not looking for an argument, it doesn't mean we agree with everything. When we're not asking for a fight, it doesn't mean that we won't fight. When we go along to get along, that's us extending the hand of friendship. When you live in a country that's bigger in size than the U.S., but with only the population of California, you need to get along with everybody, or you'll run out of friends in a hurry. The world has been reminded on a few occasions that they shouldn't mistake our kindness for weakness. Take the World Cup of Hockey, for example. Along the same line, just because we don't brag doesn't mean we're not proud. And that's where this book comes in. We're proud of our inventors. And for a country with so few people to be able to generate so many world-class inventors tells me we must be doing something right. When we see flaws in the world around us, instead of whining about it, we figure out a way to make it better. I like that about us. As you go through this book, think about how all of these inventions, from the paint roller to the cardiac pacemaker, have made life better for all of us. Give yourself another reason to be proud of Canada. Just don't tell anybody. Well, I got a little bit of a treat for you here, for listening to this book. Got a young fellow here going to help me with the read. His name is Dave Smith. You want to say hello to the folks, Dave?
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, I've known Dave pretty near all his life. He's really like a son to me. Dave, actually, some of you may know Dave. If you ever came to the tapings in Toronto at the CBC there, Dave was the audience guy, you know, the warm-up, cool-down kind of filler guy. And also, he was one of the writers on the Red Green Show and helped me write this book. So it only seemed right that he would also help me read it. So what Dave's going to do is he's going to read, you know, the real bona fide inventions that if you're ever going to quote from this book, I would suggest you quote from the parts that Dave reads, not necessarily from the parts that I read, which tend to be somewhat more fanciful and entertaining. All right, Dave, let's get her going.
Alkaline Battery. Louis Urey was born in Pontypool, Ontario, in 1927, and was the first guy to be able to make an alkaline battery that could last longer than the zinc-carbon battery everybody was using in their 3-pound metal flashlights. Sometime in the 1950s, Louis came up with the nifty trick of using manganese dioxide, solid zinc, and powdered zinc alongside the alkaline, which somehow allowed the battery to last much longer.
Attaboy, Louis. In the 1950s, while you were doing experiments that made you a millionaire, I was playing with my Gilbert chemistry set, making the basement smell like rotten eggs, and taking thermometers apart so I could watch the mercury roll around in my hand.
When the alkaline battery patent was granted to Louis and his team in 1960, that was what I would call a good day. The company, Union Carbide Corporation, later was renamed Energizer. Perhaps you've heard of them. Meanwhile, the Gilbert chemistry set folks went under.
At first, many lodge members thought these were alkaline batteries. As you know, alkaline played right field for the Detroit Tigers. Lodge members were shocked to think that alkaline had enough time to invent a battery. But they always say right field is the easiest position. The biggest surprise to them was that they thought that meant he was Canadian. Whenever you hear a lodge member say stuff like that, you're reminded of why Google was created. Maybe the whole world made a big mistake when they demoted batteries from a primary and sometimes only source of energy to become either a portable form of electricity or a backup plan for those times when the power goes off because of either a failure in the ability of the power grid to generate electricity or a failure in the ability of the homeowner to pay the electric bill. If instead of wiring the nation and making us all dependent on ever more costly generated electricity, they had continued to make more and more powerful and efficient batteries that could be charged by the sun, we'd be free and happy and masters of our own destiny, and nobody would have to live under high tension wires that make your fillings hum. There's a whole episode of my show devoted to the idea of turning Possum Lake into a battery. Go to the Book of Inventions page at redgreen.com and click on the word battery. Here's a tip for you. When you're inventing something, if you can't make it pretty, make it shiny. If you can't make it shiny, make it move. If you can't make it move, make it noisy. If you can't make it noisy, make it work. If you can't make it work, make it flammable.
AM radio. Reginald Fessenden, who also invented sonar, somewhere else in this book, is the guy who put out the first ever AM voice transmission in 1900. And my guess is he did it in the morning. Otherwise, it would have been a PM voice transmission. On Christmas Eve, Reggie did a broadcast in which he played O Holy Night on the violin and then sang the third verse. And before the applause could die down, he played a recorded song while he read the Jesus in the Manger scripture from the Gospel according to Luke. if he had given out a phone number.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?